sing about his amazing grace.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to stay on this mic today. Sound okay out there? Okay, good deal. Amen. You can hear me. Hey, need to mention real quick, want to talk about, if you're not familiar, the passing away of Kathy Dunnington this past Thursday. Is it Thursday morning? And just to be honest, when we got that news from her husband, it was a gut punch. It really was. Many of us, just to know her impact on this church, she was part of the pre-service prayer. She headed up to Psalms 91 for our military. Anything you needed help with, Kathy was willing. What a saint of God. What a wonderful woman of God. We know precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Really, we couldn't imagine what she is seeing right now, what she's hearing, seeing the Lord Jesus, being in heaven, with paradise with Jesus. That's the ultimate goal of every saint, is someday when you close your eyes that quickly, you're in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that true? Colossians 1:26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Sometimes there's still some mysteries in this. We don't know why one passes away. Somebody else that you would think that they're a candidate because of age or issues doesn't pass away. But I can tell you one thing. I asked her husband to share this, that, you know, she's in the hospital by herself for 5 weeks. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to let myself do that in honor of Kathy. Is that okay? But about 2 weeks into being in the hospital on a BiPAP that whole time, she says, you know what? I wonder what heaven's like. Started hearing these conversations that, you know, just from text. I'm not so sure how much longer I want to fight. And then other conversations through text with her and her husband. And that's all I'm going to say. But her saying, I wonder what it's like on the other side of that veil between life and death. I know one thing. Like I say, gut punch. We love her. We love her dearly. We're going to encourage her husband. We'll have a memorial service, a celebration of her life. I'm not sure when. Ed told me, he says, I'm not sure when that's going to take place, and I'm certainly not going to push it. But we're going to have a time to celebrate her life. What a wonderful woman of God she was, and start encouraging others this way. I remember I was a part of a memorial some time back, and this was a wonderful saint of God, but it seemed like the whole memorial was a downer. And this person had lived till they were elderly. I said, no, this should have been a celebration of life. This person is in the presence with Jesus right now. And so we'll keep you apprised of that. So be praying for Ed, would you, Ed Dunnington? We'll sorely miss Kathy, you know, a shock, but she is with her Lord and Savior, no doubt. Amen. And before I get started, had a chance to be with somebody who also was in the hospital ICU. We thought this individual was going to pass away, and I got to see him a few days ago. He's still weak, but he'd lived, and he began to tell me as he was in the hospital once again by himself in ICU, how he began to weep, and his understanding, his walk was with the Lord, was a brand new believer, but had stayed a brand new believer for several years. You know what I'm saying? Hadn't grown at all. But as he was in that ICU by himself, as he began to weep and say, God, what is the purpose of my life? You know, he was an individual, worked over 100 hours a week. Only slept like 4 hours a night, going from these different jobs. And as he began to weep and say, Lord, I what is the purpose of my life? And as seeing him now, seeing the tenderness of his heart, and seeing him reevaluate what the purpose of life is. Kathy didn't have that problem, by the way. She was very confident in her walk with the Lord. And what a blessing she was to this church. So, Father, we pray for supernatural strength upon Ed. Supernatural ability to overcome this grief process. Amen. As he naturally grieves for his wife. We thank you for your hand be it upon him. We thank you for us as believers encouraging him. Amen. And strengthening him and being with him and leading and guiding his life, Lord. How we thank you for that, Father. How we love you, Father. How the saints of God, just take a second, Lord, how we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for body. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for salvation, Lord, how we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. So where have we been? Anybody know? Or from week to week, are you saying, where are we at? Where are we going? We've been speaking on wisdom, amen? We've been talking about how important godly wisdom is in this day and age. You agree with that? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me just tell you, I just implore you to keep your ears open today. I implore you that you let Jesus, the Son of God, who loves you, who died for you, speak to your heart today. Oh, how he loves you. Or if you have an indifference towards the Lord, meaning I used to walk with the Lord closer, or things have happened and I've maybe stepped back, or I don't walk with the Lord like I used to, I would ask that you would allow the Lord Jesus to encourage your heart today. Did you know the Lord wants to encourage you today? He doesn't want to condemn you today. He's your, you know, there's no bigger cheerleader of mankind than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how he loves you and I. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Everlasting life, like what Kathy's experiencing right now. Everlasting life. Amen? Ecclesiastes 10:2, just a scripture. A wise person's heart directs him towards the right, but the foolish person's heart directs him toward the left. I don't have any commentary on that except that I just wanted you to hear that. And that's in the Bible. That is not Chadology at all. You take this into your heart as you would have the Lord have you do it. Amen. You know, with the culture we live in, God's wisdom is more than important than ever. It's more than important than ever. We live in an age, by the way, we live in an age of deceivers and imposters. I said, we live in an age of deceivers and imposters. So you and I would need the wisdom of God like never before, because the enemy would love to deceive you and I. He really would. If he can't deceive you as far as convincing you that Jesus isn't the way, he wants to make your life as unproductive as he can. He wants you to live in total misery. If you're going to go to heaven, he says, well, if they're going to go to heaven, let's make them unproductive and as miserable as we can on this earth. Amen? The culture were full of deceivers and imposters. Matthew 10:16-17 says in the Amplified Version, listen carefully, and this is today, this is what we are doing today, or what we're amongst today. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Listen carefully, he says. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. So be wise as serpents. Wise as serpents. We'll get to that. And innocent as doves, have no self-serving agenda. Beware of men whose nature is to act in opposition to God. For they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. We're already in the place where we're having people handed over to the courts. Have you paid attention to that? I remember how, I don't know if it was 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, where somebody was in court because they owned a bakery, and they were taken to court and says, you're going to be shut down because you won't make a cake that's contrary. They wouldn't make a cake contrary to their beliefs. Believe me, there's people already being put before courts. Amen? So we're already in the day and age right now with wolves and serpents. One thing I've noticed, I have some people I love to follow and listen to their sermons and their teachings. But I've come to realize now that the teachings and sermons I listen to have to be current and today. Even what I used to listen to from some of my favorite teachers just a few years ago doesn't seem like it's relative today. It's not relative today. We need God's revelation through grace and the power of God for today. So those messages I listened to a couple years ago may be relative for that time, but today they're not relative, or they don't have the same power, because we're in a different time and era. We really are. But that's okay. Don't take that as just negative. You know, the thing that we could do that would allow us or cause us to be blind is to think that somehow we're going to go back to the way things were. We're not. As a church, we sure can't. Amen. We're marching on and forward in Him. We're not going back. Sometimes it's in my heart saying, I wish it was like a couple years ago. Just leave me alone. Amen. Just let me live my life for the Lord. Quit bothering me with your mandates. But the thing is we can't go back. But you know what? We can go forward in Him. Amen. So God's word of grace and power, we need a fresh word, fresh wisdom for today. Amen and amen. Let me just mention this. Number one, we live in an age of deceivers and imposters. Number two, wolves look to deceive and serpents look to entice. So look at what wolves say. Wolves in Acts 20:29 says, I know, this is Paul when he's talking to the Ephesus church as he was leaving them. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So we're talking about wolves. Those are those that come amongst us. You know, wolves, sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing. They might smell like it because they got that cloth, but they'll eventually be weeded out. They're trying to deceive people. They're always trying to pull people after themselves. It says in Matthew 7:15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So we understand those that would try to come amongst us, pull people after themselves, and so forth. So wolves, but today I want to kind of focus in on serpents. So we understand wolves amongst us. Serpents. And so why did Jesus say, wise as serpents? Well, it goes back to Genesis chapter 3. So let's read that together. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6. We're going to read some scripture today, but that's okay. You guys love scripture, don't you? You love the scripture. I know that. Talking about wisdom. We're going to talk about wisdom. Now it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God has made. By the way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The enemy works through what? People. He doesn't work. He doesn't appear to as Satan, because that wouldn't be deception. Amen? So the wrestling comes against those who would oppose you, or those that would be working for Satan that are in flesh and blood. That's okay. They've always been around us. Amen? But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But for this purpose, says, now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God really said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, or the woman said to Satan, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. Verse 5, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, by the way, that would be the lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, that would be the lust of the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. And that's the pride of life. She took some of the fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. So I've mentioned this before in past sermons, how you can't tell me words aren't powerful. Adam and Eve gave up everything just just by listening to a voice. By listening to a voice, amen? They had God in the still of the day, in the cool of the day, it said God would come into the garden. He would fellowship with them. Everything was perfect. I mean, it was perfect. They were in the Garden of Eden, amen? But yet the lies of the enemy was able to deceive them and said, there's some wisdom that you're missing out on. Even though everything's perfect in your life, you're still missing out. And I'm telling you, that's how Satan works today. Still the same thing. Thinking that there's something that we're missing out on. This, she traded, what happened is they traded the wisdom of God for what we know today as the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world. That is the battle for believers today still, is being sucked into the lies of trading God's wisdom, we'll talk about it, for the wisdom of the world. Now, don't misunderstand, there's things that mankind does that is awesome. I mean, God, man's wisdom or intellect, when you cross a bridge, somebody had to see that in their mind. Somebody had to design that and engineer that. And the crazy math that goes into that and then make it a reality by what? Wisdom of man. That's okay, amen? That's okay. There's other wisdoms that are good, that are not evil, that are helping mankind, that I'm okay with. How about you? Amen. But we're talking about that wisdom that's being traded. So we see that the Hebrew, let me just say that word. What did that Hebrew word for wise mean? It means circumspect. You know, being careful, vetting something out. Circumspect. That's okay, right? Intelligent. Consider. An expert, instruct, prosper, prudent, skill, have good success, to teach, understand, wisdom, wise, guide wittingly. So you understand that this Hebrew word for what she was looking at, there's nothing wrong with it, but it was a thing of, I'm missing out on something. There's more, there's something I'm missing out. I've been deceived by the enemy that everything that I need, somehow I don't have. You know, it's the same thing for believers today. Let me say it again, that somehow we think we're missing out on something, that there's something else that needs to be added to our life. But you know what? In Jesus Christ, we have everything we need in him. There may be wisdom that we need in certain areas, so we cry out to him. But something about human nature keeps saying there's something missing. But I'm here to tell you that we have all that we need through Jesus Christ. The simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the flesh, it makes you recoil. It's impossible. It's impossible that the wisdom of God or the simplicity of the gospel is all I need to be successful in this life. We'll read some more scriptures. It was just like when I started hearing about grace, my flesh recoiled from it. I don't know why, the way I was taught in religion. It's just like, ugh. But just kept coming back to the well. Lord, I'll get back. I'll get past this somehow, some way. By God, I sure did. How about you? Now, I revel in the grace of God. I love the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God in my life that I didn't deserve. Amen? His grace. Hallelujah. Everything we need is found in him. This Hebrew definition doesn't sound bad when read. What's wrong with this definition? It's the type of wisdom that doesn't require God. It's the pursuit of God, man's wisdom, so we don't need God. Amen? That's what we see now. I went back and studied and said, you know, when did science, false science, start coming into our schools? Big Bang Theory, right? Different things. Or how did we allow that? And it was subtle. They started trying to put it into schools in 1900. We had some leaders that would stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. And then in the 1960s is when it really started being a part where creationism became foolishness. The wisdom of God at that time became foolishness. No more Bibles. We're not reading Bibles. We're not going to talk about creationism anymore. Amen? We're just going to talk about evolution. So they traded the true wisdom for the wisdom of man. What happened shortly after that, within a few years, then we had this Roe versus Wade all of a sudden. See, when you pursue the wisdom of man, all of a sudden, the things that are truly insane become like accepted and natural. Amen? That's what we've seen. That's exactly what we've seen. How do we know? Do you guys know we have this in the before the Supreme Court about in for the state of Mississippi, right? Outlawing abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Did I say that right? How many people know that's a good thing? I'm going to tell you something. That's the wisdom of God. Don't allow the enemy through years and years and years of being washed under the wisdom of the world. Don't let anything inside you say, well, you know, we shouldn't be involved in that. We can't do that anymore. That's why we're at where we're at. Lord, I pray that you would give those justices, Supreme Court justices, the wisdom of God. Lord, may we never be ashamed of the wisdom of God. May we not back up from the wisdom of God. Lord, let them, I know there's Supreme Court justices there that in the past have always boasted about the wisdom of God. May they not be afraid, or I'm going to say it, or become cowards in this hour. Amen. Be praying for them. Amen. And amen. Amen. So at the fall of Adam, it sets out two paths, walking in the wisdom of the world and walking in the wisdom of God. Let me just talk about a few things, the world's wisdom. We're going to talk about, number one, the world's wisdom is just walking in the world's philosophy. Worldly views is the macro. How does the world do business? What does the world believe? There's nothing on discovering God or proving God. It's all a hot pursuit to somehow disprove God, and it can't happen. So we know that who's the God of this world? So we know that he's pushing to what? Have people to believe that God doesn't exist, amen? Or that to be God at mad because of what's going on in the world. So we have the wisdom of the world as far as a macro. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose mind, this is talking about people, the God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Aren't you glad that God has shined on you? Aren't you glad that he shined the light of his truth in your mind and your heart, that you're born again? Amen? So we have that wisdom of the world. We have the wisdom of each country. What is each individual country in this world? What do they pursue? What is their pursuit? I love what Psalms 2, 1 and 2 says. Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one. But if you read that whole chapter, it talks about the King of glory, which is Jesus Christ, laughing at them. So individual countries that are wanting to be against the God. You know how you can tell by a country where they stand with faith in God? It's just read the laws. What they allow and what they don't allow. What they're trying to put on the people is acceptable. That are contrary to the nature, amen, the nature of God. We have the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of each country. We had individual wisdom of each church. I say this many times and I keep saying, what you believe has everything to do with your success as a Christian. There's people that believe it's just you get saved and then it's just the sovereignty of God. Well, let me just say this about the sovereignty of God. We need God's sovereign will to move on this nation. There's things that's going to take the sovereignty of God as we pray to do what's needed to be done in this nation. It's going to take the power of God to turn things around in this country. Do you believe that? You can do and I can do what we want in the natural, and we should, but it's going to take a sovereign, powerful move of God to turn things around. I think about the First Great Awakening. You know, that was around the Revolutionary War time. And people like George Whitefield, where he would be preaching of about 30,000 people, and the people in the very back row could hear him. And they could hear them. And as this country was slipping a certain direction, and as God's sovereign move, people became hungry for the Lord. And it kept this country on the right path. Not everybody. Amen? Benjamin Franklin even said about being at a Whitefield rally, we would call it a rally, I guess, or a outreach. And he said, he's the one who said, man, I was in the back, very back, 30,000 people, and I could hear him. And he said, you know, I determined when I went to his meeting that I wasn't going to give him a nickel. He says, but as he began to speak, he says, well, I'll give him my copper. And he says, as he began to speak more, he said, I'll give him my silver too. And by the time he was done, he said he gave everything in the offering for the spreading of the gospel. Amen. Isn't that interesting? Just a free tidbit there. Amen. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love. What's it say? Let us consider one another to stir up love in good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's that day? It's coming back, amen? A place that you and I can get the wisdom of God is together in a church setting. Did you know that? Today, the world and even certain believers think that's foolishness. Think that's foolishness. You know, God will speak to your heart and my heart just what during the time of worship, during a time of fellowship. As I'm preaching, there could be the Lord, the word being seed, could land on good soil and produce a different type of fruit specific for that individual. Amen? Together is a powerful form of God's wisdom being deposited in our lives. Amen? Do you agree with that? Number four, so I had the world's wisdom. Number one, walking in the world's wisdom or philosophy. Number two, that's just the world in general, macro. Number two, each individual country's wisdom, how they operate. Number three, individual church wisdom. Amen? Let me just say this. You may not agree with everything I say, but remember what Pastor Lee used to say? Swallow the hay and spit out the stubble. Sounds like a Pastor Lee saying. So there might be things where you just may not agree, but spit out that stubble. We're not going to find a church where we agree with one another 100%. Amen? It's not going to happen. But if we love one another in body, God will cause us to grow. And then individual family or individual person, Adam and Eve traded the wisdom of God for their little family, for the wisdom of this world, and the influence of Satan. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, hear that, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming that time, well, you can't redeem time that's already happened. Yesterday's gone, amen? What it is God restores your life. Man, he can restore things that have been lost. He can restore your life, your home, if it needs restoration. Redeeming the time, he can say, you know what, you lost a lot of time, but I'm the redeemer, I'm the restorer, amen? I'm the one that can do something powerful in your life, in your home, and it comes 100% by the supernatural will of God and the wisdom of God through his Holy Spirit, amen? So wisdom for an individual church, and he has a wisdom for individual families regarding jobs, finances, amen? Relationships. God has wisdom, the answer for everything on that. I'm telling you, he has an answer for everything you face. I don't even care if it seems impossible. That's when he loves to answer. If you have a business and you've got struggle, God has wisdom for that, amen? He has wisdom for every little detail in our lives. Amen. He wants to give us that wisdom. It's there for the asking. Amen. Are you asking for God for wisdom in those little areas of your life? Your marriage, your job, your 401k? I'm not sure what that is, hon, but I've heard of those. Everything in this, if you look at now, God has wisdom for everything. I'm learning that if I'm not careful, I can get into fear if I start listening to certain things too long. Right? You buy gold or silver, or do you buy cryptocurrency? Don't ask me. Maybe all of it, huh? But you need, you know, we need God's wisdom in those things. Amen? It's ours for the asking. It's ours for the asking. I'm going to move on. How are we to walk in this wisdom? Number one, this is a powerful scripture. Number one, we've talked about it. It's simply by grace. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our boasting is in this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity." Hear this, guys. In simplicity and godly sincerity. I didn't say a simpleton. In the simplicity of the gospel. Simplicity and godly sincerity. Not with what? Fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. And more abundantly toward you. More abundantly toward you, that grace of God. Amen? And this time God's saying, you're being wise in me. You walking in wisdom, number one, by the grace of God. And it's abundantly. Amen. It's abundant. Number two, that was number one, under how to walk in this wisdom, that was number one. Number two, under how to walk in this wisdom, we have access, and I've talked about this, by our position in Him. 1 Corinthians 6:11. "And such were some of you." He's talking about those who lived according to the flesh, unbelievers, given over to sin. He says, "But some of you were that way. Some of you were that way. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen? You've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified. So your position is, I have a right to God's wisdom. Don't let the enemy say you're not right enough, you're not walking with Him where you need to be to get wisdom. That's when you need to say, "God, I need your wisdom more than ever because of my position in you. I've been washed, I've been cleansed, I've been justified even in the middle of my struggle." The number one thing, if the enemy can convince you that somehow you've got to get somewhere as far as how you act or where your godliness is based upon what you do or don't, you've already lost the battle. Then you start struggling with the wisdom of God. Then you start just thinking you don't deserve the wisdom of God. That's when we need to stand in our position in the Lord and say, "God, I need wisdom because of who I am in Jesus Christ." Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you're right position with Him by faith and by His blood? That you can say, "Lord, I need wisdom to walk in this crazy world. I need wisdom in my home." We need wisdom, even what we let in our TVs anymore. The things you could trust from Hallmark anymore is changing. I've said it. If it's like the frog in the water, just turn that heat up a little bit. Lord, let us give us wisdom of this world that's starting to seep it into areas that were always wholesome. Amen? You've heard me say this. I'm sorry. I'm going to get on a soapbox for 1 minute. If Christians didn't go to movies that mock God, they're contrary to God, Hollywood would not be making movies the way they are. That's the truth. So, Lord, through radio, no condemnation. This is where we want to grow up in Christ, through the radio, through the television, through all the different social media platforms. Lord, help us to know what wisdom to let in us, inside our minds and our hearts. Lord, give us wisdom there. Lord, things that grieve you, may they begin to grieve our hearts. Is that okay to say in this grace-filled church? Lord, things that grieve your heart, let them grieve mine. Is that okay? That's good preaching. I'm sorry. That's good stuff. What grieves Him, I want to grieve me. But I can't, it's got to be an enlightening His wisdom. Amen? It's Him that's got to show us. There was a time in Gina and my life many years ago where we didn't have television in our house because the religion we were part of said no televisions, no this, no that, no this. So it had a form of godliness. But our lives were out of control. Absolutely out of control. A form of godliness does not change one's life. Get rid of your all these things. It was like following these rules and regulation. And what it did is it allowed the power of sin to reign in our lives. But when we turn it over to grace, amen, and right standing by his blood, now we say, hey, Lord, you show us by your spirit what true wisdom is. If we need to get rid of the idiot box, we'll do it because you lead us there. Or whatever we do, amen? And it won't be out of some form of religion. It'll be out of the true wisdom of God based upon my standing with him in grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Or as one pastor I heard say, amen or oh me, whatever applies. Amen. We have the mind of Christ already. 1 Corinthians 2:13. I'm sorry, I might be wrong on this. It's 15, okay. But he who is spiritual, who's spiritual here? This is you, by the way. Are you born again? Are you spiritual? It says we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So who's spiritual here? Can you? Well, I'm spiritual. Through his grace. I'm born again. We're spiritual. He lives in me. I'm spiritual. Amen? But he who is spiritual judges, listen to this, judges all things. This is powerful, this scripture. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. There's people that may judge me on things, but when I'm walking in love and his goodness, they may judge me, but they're not in right standing. See, the world right now wants to judge the church, wants to come against us, would love to close the church down or make our young people think that it's not relative. But you know what? That's not true. We can stand up with pride in God, the pride of our faith, and say, you know what? You can say all you want, but you cannot judge me. Because he who I am born after, he is standing with me. Amen? Let me just keep reading that a little bit. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This wisdom that we're asking for in our lives in the days that we might be facing ahead, it's already ours. It's there for the asking. It's there for the pursuit. It's there for the taking. It says abundantly. His wisdom is there for us abundantly. Amen? We already have the mind of Christ, and we're walking in him. People may try to judge us, but they have no standing, it says. Amen. It says there again, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. That's another thing where people say, hey, you can't judge that. What's going on? What our nation's doing? Yeah, our church is called to make a judgment in righteousness. Just like you do in your families with your children, you judge in righteousness what's allowed or not allowed in your home. And nobody can judge you. God says nobody has a right standing to do that. Amen. We have his mind already. How many people here have the mind of Christ? Remind that self, yourself that on Monday. When you have those bad thoughts on Monday or Tuesday, just start saying, devil, I have the mind of Christ. I have a right standing with him. I'm walking in his wisdom, and he is growing me in him. He has washed me in the blood. I'm a new creation. I'm not buying these attacks anymore. Hallelujah! The curtains have been pulled. Amen. We have access by our position with him. We have the mind of Christ. But let me just talk a little bit so this makes it clear. What's the world's wisdom look like? What's the world's wisdom look like? Let's go to James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic, it says. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. What brought Satan down? Wasn't it his jealousy, his pride, his jealousy? See, the wisdom of the world is always going to be rooted and grounded in itself. It can't help it. If the world's wisdom says, I don't need God, or he's just a side, something I've added to my life, what the world's wisdom in the end brings is every type of evil practice. The wisdom's world cannot wash away your sins. The world's wisdom cannot bring peace in your heart. Amen. The world's wisdom cannot lead and direct you when you were born of Him and directed by His Holy Spirit with purposes already placed in you. And those desires that come up are things that were already replaced in you before the foundation of the earth. With the wisdom of the world may look good on the outside, but in the inside, there's nothing but chaos and disorder. Thank you, Jesus, through Christ, the simplicity of the gospel, growing in Him, in the inner man, in our minds, in our flesh. Lord, we thank you that there's not chaos and disorder, but there's order, there's love. Amen, there's peace. The wisdom of the world will look like, hey, I've got what you need. If you just have this, if you just pursue this, if you just have this, everything will be okay. I'm here to tell you that the enemy's ploys is just like what he talked to Eve and said, hey, did God say this? He looked at that fruit and said, man, looks good. My mouth is watering. Boy, this looks like it'll make me wise. But they traded the wisdom of God for the wisdom of the world. Amen. But the wisdom that you and I are walking in, you still with me? Is it too hot in here? Are you sleeping on me? I heard that. The wisdom of this world cannot bring satisfaction. If you're here today, you can attain everything. On the outside, it could look like you've got everything you need, but on the inside, you're dead. You need a Savior. You need your spirit man to come alive, and that it can only come alive through the simplicity of believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for you, He was risen from the grave, and He's at the right hand of the Father. Believing this truth, that is the truth. Let the Spirit of God touch your heart. That is the truth. That's the only wisdom in this, that's not of this world. It's the only true wisdom that can satisfy a soul. Amen? There's many people in this room I know that realize that. In many ways, I'm just preaching to the choir, but God wants us to remind us to pursue His wisdom, to pursue His wisdom. God wants to reveal more to each individual than we can imagine. He's not just revealing things to pastors and special people, but every individual that has the Spirit of God in them, God wants to reveal His wisdom. It comes through the Word of God. It comes through dreams. It comes through visions. Supernatural things where God brings wisdom to you. Amen? Amen and amen. So, but how about the wisdom that you and I are walking in and pursuing? James 3, 17 and 18. I love the book of James in the light of the gospel of grace, by the way. But the wisdom, so he talked about the world's wisdom already, James, Pastor James of the Jerusalem church. But the wisdom from above is first what? Pure. It's perfect. It's pure. You don't have to worry about its motive. The wisdom that God gives you is pure. And it's for your good, amen? He's not playing tricks on you. You can trust His wisdom. Many people, let me stop, are raised with authority or mothers or fathers or whatever where they did not trust any type of wisdom that came from a family member or parent. But let me tell you that God, He loves you. He will not harm you. His wisdom is pure and perfect and full of love, amen? Full of love, you can trust Him to be your father. You can trust Him to lead and guide your marriage. You can trust Him to lead and guide your career. He can trust you even in the midst of the water that is rocking the boat. Trust Him. He has wisdom for you in the middle of that. Amen? You can trust His wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Amen? Peace-loving. The wisdom of God brings peace. I love that it brings peace. It's gentle. It's reasonable. Some of us need to learn how to be reasonable, and I'll just leave it at that. It's reasonable, full of mercy. Now, what are we talking about right now? God's wisdom, full of mercy and good fruits. Amen? Impartial, free of hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. God wants that peace that we have to be sown into others. Amen? Sown into others. Amen? That peace of God sown into others. Amen? When you have this wisdom, or his wisdom, it brings what the world's wisdom cannot offer. World's wisdom takes pride and figured it out on themselves. Amen? What comes with that? Well, the world's wisdom comes with anxiety. Anybody ever figured that out? If you haven't, you're going to live long enough that the wisdom of this world does not bring peace, but it sure will bring anxiety. But the wisdom of God, on contrast, brings peace. Amen? The wisdom of this world, man, will lead to fear. Have we seen plenty of fear the last couple of years? My goodness. We won't go down that rabbit trail, but there's a lot of fear. Let's not let the church walk in the wisdom of the world, but with peace and love and strength, walking in the power of God. Opposite of fear is power. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Stress. The opposite of stress is confidence, right? I mean, what percentage of Americans medicate themselves? Because of anxiety. I'm not putting down anybody. Who's been there? Well, don't raise your hand. What ails America right now is a lack of God's wisdom, his peace. The answer, I'm not saying it happens like that. As you grow in him, his wisdom, his strength in you starts to break anxiety off your life. Fear off your life, stress off your life, but you have to pursue it in his love. You have to say, Lord, I want that. You have to say, Lord, he's faithful to answer. Say, Lord, what is the root of this fear in my life? What is the root of this anxiety, the stress in my life? He wants to reveal an answer there. Amen? He wants to reveal an answer, and it comes in the form of God's revelation and wisdom. I know a lot of people out there have stressful jobs. Did you know, or stress in the business, that he has an answer for that? I said he has an answer for that. And I can tell you the answer is not a 120-hour work week. I just want to throw that in for free. Amen. I've been there. I have been there. Amen. Okay, 4 was, what's the world's wisdom really look like? Number 5, but the wisdom we are walking in is from James 3:17-18. Amen. Number 6, asking for this wisdom, Ephesians 1:17, that the God, this is what Paul was asking for the Ephesians, okay? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Be praying that for your family, asking for it. Asking that, Lord, in this day and age, I refuse to be deceived by the wisdom of this world. And Lord, I am choosing to walk in the wisdom of Jesus Christ, bringing strength, the joy, and the peace in my life in the midst of insanity in some ways. Amen? Want to mention real quick, Solomon, remember he became king. He was just young. David, his father, had died. Remember he had that dream. And in that dream, God says, what can I do for you? What did he ask for? Wisdom. And when he asked for wisdom, God said, because you've asked for wisdom, you didn't ask for your enemies, their heads on a platter, right? You didn't ask for wealth. Could have asked for wealth. He said, because you asked for wisdom, these other things are going to be added into your life. I'm going to tell you, if you have wealth, it does no good to have it if you don't have God's wisdom. It can destroy your life. But if you ask for God's wisdom, everything he wants to release in your life, it will come. It'll be a blessing, not a weight, not a heaviness. It won't come with all those things that sometimes that blessings will come with. Amen? That it'll come with. So as we pursue wisdom through Jesus Christ, the things that we already have in him, God wants to release things in our lives. You cannot give the keys to the car to a 14-year-old. That's not wise anyway. I think there's things that God wants to release in our life, but he's just waiting for the maturity and the wisdom of God in our heart to be released so we can handle that. Amen? Do you agree with that? So he said, Lord, let me have your wisdom. And then God gave him everything else he was needed. Father God, we thank you right now that everything that we need is firstly rooted and grounded in the wisdom of God. Amen? And the Lord, you have so many good things you want to release in our lives. But it comes to that wisdom. Amen? First thing is trusting him, knowing him as your Savior. Knowing that wisdom, the wisdom of this world will try to trick you and say, we've got your answers. It's like that fruit. Amen? Say, no, my wisdom is coming from him. He's directing me. Amen? If you're looking for a husband or a wife, let his wisdom direct you. Don't look at him like that piece of fruit. And that might land on your guys' heart differently, whatever that means. That was pretty funny. And if you're married, there ain't no other fruit out there that's worth it. That'll turn into a rotten apple. You'll bite into a worm. That's the truth. Blessed is, what's that scripture? Blessed or whatever, he who finds a wife? Amen? God's wisdom leading and guiding the saints of God in this day and age. Amen. Amen, as the worship team comes. Everything that we're going to, the promises. Number seven, thanking God and declaring what belongs or is a part of the believer. Can I read real quick from one thing about asking for wisdom is also thanking him for what's already ours and his promises. Psalms 103, 1 through 6. Can I just read this real quick? It says here, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. These are promises. These are wisdom for our life. Amen. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Hallelujah. But it doesn't stop there. Who heals all your diseases. Amen. Number 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Thank you, Lord, that you brought our lives out of destruction. He's the only one that can bring lives out of destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies. 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Maybe today you got to say, Lord, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for renewing my youth like the eagles. Amen. I don't care if you turn 55 like I did not too long ago. I've still got the youth. I've still got the youth, right? Because your mind will start telling you things. You start looking at the Denny's, what do they call that? The menu. And then it's got your name on it now. No. No, I refuse that. Verse 5 again. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Can you stand up with me today? If you find this morning that you're oppressed in any way, I know there's people that have been dealing with difficult circumstances. I know some of you that are dealing with difficult circumstances, but you're still here. Your faith still remains strong. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that God will release comfort into your heart and into your soul, and that the wisdom of God would just, abundant wisdom of God will come into your mind, your will, and your emotions, out of the spirit man, that you will stand firm, that you will not be moved, that you will have that anchor of hope established, amen, that God is getting this through you, getting you through this. But what you got to do during those times, you got to say, Lord, release your wisdom. I want your wisdom. Because what happens during those times, it can be struggle. We'll start in our own mind, in our own wills and emotions. We'll start looking everywhere or an answer. We're looking for something to help us. Lord, let your people say, Lord, I'm looking to you. Your wisdom, release it in my life. Bring me through this, Lord. Bring this nation through this, God, with a sovereign move of your spirit, God. Let us start seeing, Lord, in the spirit world, what you're doing. Lord, let us not focus on what hasn't been done, but what is being done in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that darkness is being exposed in the country, in the world. And when you have darkness being exposed by the light, there's a cleansing agent to it. Amen? But let that be the same thing in our hearts that are born again. Lord, areas that still might be dark, can you say this and say, Lord, expose it with your light? Because I'm already yours. You love me. There's no condemnation. But if there's areas in my heart that are hurting me that needs God's light and wisdom, show me, Lord. Show me. So I can repent in your love and say, I'm going a different direction. And that's what'll change this country. That's what'll bring health to our bodies. That's what'll bring health to our relationships, Lord. Father, we thank you for that today. Lord, how we love you. We acknowledge it. You love. Can you just take a second and say, Lord, I receive that today. Say, Lord, everything you have for me today, I receive of that. I'm not leaving anything on the table. It says my cup runneth over. Lord, thank you today that our cup runneth over. Amen. With the wisdom, with the strength, and the glory of God for it. Thank you for it running over, God. And even when we feel like it's not running over, that's not the truth, because we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. So, Lord, speak into our faith through that wisdom that it grows stronger. Our roots are established in you. Amen. That talks about in Psalms 1 being planted by rivers of water. The Holy Ghost is water. Amen. Planted by the rivers of water. As we're nourished together by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the truth. Amen. As our leaf shall not wither. And it says, whatever we do shall prosper. Amen. But it comes through his wisdom. So we thank you for that today. As we sing this song, if you need prayer, if you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come up here. I want to pray with you. Come up here. I want to pray with you. If you need someone to agree with you in prayer for wisdom, please come up here during as we sing this last song. Amen. We want to pray with you. Otherwise, we sing, you're dismissed, and have a blessed Monday. Amen. Father, we thank you for today, blessing your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.